Brett Hayes is Associate Professor of Political Science at Union College. He has a PhD in Government and Politics from the University of Maryland. And Brad, you're our political scientist in residence here, and we so appreciate your coming by. So let me start. We have so many things to talk about. Let's talk about, you know, things like the Manchester attack, whether that influences our internal politics here in the United States.
It certainly can. Obviously, Trump campaigned heavily on issues of homeland security, and the degree to which he can in some ways tie this into themes that I think are starting to come out of his Middle East visit, right? That that the civilized world in some ways has to unite against ISIS and against foes of that civilized world as he sees it. So countries like Iran have certainly been a focal point for this trip. But on, you know, in other messaging, North Korea is in that same category. So I think you're going to see some effort to stitch all of these things together. I think, you know, some of that, of course, makes sense from a policy perspective, but it also will work for him domestically to a certain extent. He needs to reboot the narrative. The first 100+ days have not gone particularly well, and the more that he can find a narrative that's going to work to his strength and to a Republican Party strength. So if you just look at the issue of terrorism, it's more favorably associated with Republicans. Because of that, you're likely to see greater traction and an opportunity to just change the narrative away from the scandals that have plagued the White House thus far.
Well, is it too late? I mean, right now you got a special prosecutor. That ball of twine is already being unraveled. So he can go on his trip. He can observe something about Manchester's terrible disaster. But nothing's going to stop the unfolding of the idea that you have a president who is surrounded by people who have been talking to the Russians, who one in particular who is accused of lying. Is it too late for him to put the genie back in the bottle?
Is it too late? I think it may well be too late. However, let me start with, on a more ambiguous front and then move towards why there it'll be very difficult to change that narrative. The first part, I think, is that Trump obviously needs to try. And you can think about his strategy in a number of ways. Right? One of the places where he hasn't seen a lot of slippage is in his core supporters. Right. So in other words, he's still pretty popular among Republicans. And the message that you hear from kind of Republican voters that supported Trump in the last election is that it's still early. Right. That we elected somebody who's an outsider and that this is Washington pushing back against this outside force. You hear narratives about the deep state, meaning that the administrative body of the United States is pushing back because they see Trump as a threat. And so he can, first off, kind of shore up support there. In other words, make sure that there's no slippage among core Republicans, which should then buy him some degree of political capital among other Republicans in government, right? And so if you're thinking about the ways in which an international focus on, you know, thinking about terrorism, thinking about national security may help to create a slightly different narrative. And the degree to which the investigation becomes more sequestered, right? So that Mueller goes off and does his work and there are fewer leaks. And if, in fact, you can kind of stop this constant flow of information coming out that looks quite damning to the administration, you may, in fact, be able to build up some of that capital to then translate that to success on some domestic policy issues that we haven't seen much of, right? So if you think about some of the momentum that you'd have to build prior to the July 4th congressional recess, you would have an outside shot, I think only an outside shot, at doing something on healthcare. But there seems no momentum towards tax reform. Infrastructure seems even less likely. And you do need to change that. The degree to which you can kind of reboot that narrative even a little bit is going to help achieve greater momentum towards those objectives.
Now, you know that he has now released his budget, President Trump, and that is a very draconian budget to many people in terms of the kinds of harm it does to people at the bottom of the social heap. What are his chances of getting such a budget through the Congress?
Not good. Republicans have already come out and said it's too much. You know, I think particularly as you're pointing out, there are all kinds of effects on Medicaid that are deeply problematic. And one of the sources of the pushback are Republican governors. You've heard this time and again that this is too much, and that again adds to that splintering effect within the Republican Party. So even somebody like Paul Ryan was looking at this budget and saying that no, I'm not on board with much of what's in there.
Isn't that a game, Brett Hayes? Isn't the game he proposes something extraordinarily draconian and they come back with something that's a little less offensive?
I think so. I mean, if we're reading The Art of the Deal, right? You're staking out ground that's further away than you know you'll get, but it helps you get more than what you might have otherwise had in the compromise. So that's part of it. But one of the things to keep in mind, though, I think, is that, you know, usually you're working with the opposite side, you know, in a negotiation, right? As in there are kind of countervailing parties. And this isn't necessarily the case. It is single party control. And while, we shouldn't treat the Republican Party as ideologically unified per se, you know, there's a lot of connective fiber there that you wouldn't think you'd have to stake out those kinds of grounds in order to achieve what you want. So either that is a miscalculation by the Trump White House, or they just don't care. I mean, I think that there is a certain kind of philosophical orientation, if I can call it that, to this White House towards just doing what it is that they want to do and then figuring it out later on, right? Not thinking much about the politics of things up front that tends to pay kind of strategic dividends over time. But just, you know, putting things in play and then going from there, which, again, you know, doesn't seem to be terribly effective as measured through the first 100 plus days.
A colleague said something to me on our roundtable program that I'm interested in, and that is that Trump has no philosophy. The people, Bannon and others around him, might, but he has no personal philosophy. I think you take a look at this budget and you see a philosophy.
I think I would tend to agree with your colleague that the philosophy is winning, that he seems to only want to win and doesn't particularly seem to care much about the details about what that win looks like.
Yeah, but look at him. He puts a climate denier in one place. He puts an education denier in another place. That's all philosophical. You can't just say, I want to win. You put some real troublesome characters in place.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Although I what hasn't come out yet, what we... You know, you hear a lot of speculation on this. I don't think we've had it fully documented about who's making, you know, a lot of these decisions, right? As in, like, what's driving the policy?
Who cares? He's the president.
Well, I think it actually matters, right, in terms of whether there's like a philosophy here, that when we're thinking about so many presidents, usually when they stake out a position, you can trace out the development of that policy through a series of white pages that, you know, goes through key political operatives all the way back to the bureaucracy, yeah. Et cetera, right? Trump just seems to throw a lot of stuff out, and he's not wedded to it. He'll throw it out, and then he'll discard it, you know, hours later.
Some people think he's lying about it in the first place, and he doesn't remember what he said.
That he doesn't remember, that may be, I have no idea, but he does it a lot, which, again, suggests to me that there's no animating philosophy. There may, in fact, be, you know, some motivation there, but I don't think it's philosophical.
Professor Brad Hayes, our political scientist in residence here at WAMC, professor of political science at Union College. Brad, we'll come back some more. I want to ask you about one of your great specialties, the Supreme Court.
Sounds good.